Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we enlighten the world and our realities and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Explore with us as we examine a metaphysical montage of spiritual insights, covering everything from the mundane to the magical, UFOs to unicorns, and everything in between. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading our wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. Come and join with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and with a little luck, some wisdom. This is Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone.
Welcome everybody to Neon Twilight with Solara's Blue Raven here on Nightlight Radio. I had to stop and think there. I hope you all have had as nice a day as I have. It hasn't rained, snowed, sleet, or hailed, so it's been a rather pleasant day. This is a part of my weekend or beginning, whichever way you want to look at it, that I value always as much as any other day, but a little bit more because I get to talk to Solaris for 2 hours. And most of you know her from her two radio shows, both of which are now on Freedom Slips Radio. And it's a joy to have her knowledge, her wisdom, her humor, and her insight here to share with. It's nice to have somebody that talks the same language as I do. And every week we do this, we try to keep a topic going, and every now and then we actually manage to do it quite well. I tell people I know where we're going to start, but I have no idea where we're going to finish. Solaris has been doing these radio shows for a very, very long time. She is so well known that she doesn't need an introduction, just her name alone is enough. But do check her out because she is really quite multi-talented and has wisdom in a plethora of topics you would never even think to say could be possibly one of them. So welcome to your show, Solaris.
Well, thank you, Barbara. It's always such a lovely introduction you do for me. I want to thank you very much, and thank you for spending Easter with me, a little bit of a window of time here. It's very nice.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And you know, it's funny. The weather usually is consistent in March. It either comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb. And this year, it came in like a lion and went out like a... It must have eaten the lamb because, you know, there was no gentle flow into springtime. We've had freezes here for several nights in a row. So,
wow.
You know, and I know everything's changing, but you'd like to be able to depend on something.
Oh, I know. Well, we're still getting snow over here, even though there's a glimpse of springtime in the mountains. But yeah, I'm over the snow already. So I'm done.
Yeah. I can remember those days. I know that when Patrick moved from California to New England, he had been in California for over 40 years. And at one point, you know, we had a snow flurry, and he said, well, that'll be gone soon. And I said, no, this is just the start of it. And he said, well, how much do you get? And I said, well, at least 3 or 4 feet. And he looked at me like, you're crazy. And I said, not so much. And within the next, I think, week or so, we had, I think, 4 feet of snow on the deck outside. And he said, I didn't think the weather was like this anymore. And I said, well, you were in La La Land, so that's why. But
that's right.
He did learn that winter is, you know, much different in the Northeast. And I grew up for about 10 years in Michigan and Minnesota. So I know what a blizzard is.
I'm sure.
And when they predicted a blizzard here, it meant an inch of snow. So it's all relative, definitely.
Yeah.
You have mentioned, you mentioned in, when we were texting, trying to figure out what we were going to talk about tonight, you had mentioned, I had mentioned the 37th parallel, and you mentioned the New Madrid fault line. And I wasn't quite sure, is it the fault line that I know the 37th parallel has a great deal of paranormal activity on it. There have been a lot of UFO sightings and stuff like that. You said something about X marks the spot and it falls right on the New Madrid fault line.
Apparently there's been some, you know, you have to take these videos with a grain of salt, but apparently there is going to be, the way the shadow is falling, it appears that it's going through the ley lines, supposedly, of that area in connection to the Madrid fault line. So, you know, we can see, you know, can kind of do your own trajectory and see if it's actually going through those ley lines in particular. I'm not sure about the parallel in general, but it is about the aspects of the energy and what it's doing in connection to that. So from what I understand, so I thought it was kind of ominous and interesting, and there is supposedly going to be an X, and I have to double check exactly where that's going to be. But I find it, it's, once again, it's just one of those ominous things that's happening. We also have the comet coming in, if I'm not mistaken. So there's some other things happening simultaneously. CERN is firing up at the same time, which is another interesting thing. And NASA is doing their thing. So.
The new Madrid fault line went off in 1811 and 1812, right around New Year's, Christmas time frame. And it was horrendous, and it flattened buildings. It rang. It's right kind of along the Mississippi, and it rang bells in Philadelphia and in Boston. It was that big. It was between a 7 and an 8. And for years now, I have predicted it's going to go off again. And so I moved to be closer to it. And not really, but I did move much closer to it. And I have a feeling that, you know, crystal will break and pictures will fall off the walls if it goes off again. But I swear, I keep seeing it going off again. And this time, when it goes off, the cities and the towns that are now sprinkled across the country that stand a good chance of getting leveled is just horrendous. And I read someplace that schools along the fault line had, the government has backpacks for every student that have, I think it's 3 days water, 3 days food in it. So, you know, it's predicted, and, you know, and I kind of had the feeling that because I predicted it was going off, it wouldn't go off.
Right.
I did not predict it this year, and I did not predict it this year.
Interesting.
So if it goes off, it's my fault.
No, it's not. But maybe you're stabilizing over there. You know, maybe.
I would love to think I'm doing something positive.
Right. But the last time it went off, there wasn't an eclipse of any kind, was there? Does it document anything like that?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
So
yeah.
And we've got the eclipse, too, coming up this week, I think, don't we?
Well, April 8th is the one. That's the eclipse, the solar eclipse. Yeah. So that's right around the window of time, the illusion of time, right?
Yeah.
So it should be interesting. I know a lot of people are scared, but go ahead.
Well, you know, it's interesting because in China, do you know what one of their major predictors of earthquakes are? Is in China?
Mm-mm.
The snakes come out of the ground.
Well, that makes sense.
Because
vibration.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of, you know, I'm not looking for snakes to come out of the ground, but it just feels to me. I mean, you look at the San Andreas Fault. That's every 500 years or every some thousands of years or whatever it is, and I don't know if the time frame on the New Madrid Fault Line is anything like that. It's only been about 200 years since it went off, but I just get the feeling it's going to go off again.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the timeline is really
what
looking at. Yeah. Go ahead.
And to me, I don't remember where the two conventions are, but I think they're in the vicinity of the fault line. I know one of them is. One of them isn't one of the conventions in Chicago?
I think so.
So how much I know about politics. But I think the conventions are actually close to where the fault line is. So I'm wondering if you know, they'll blame one party or the other if it goes off, for sure.
Well, but I think it's an ominous, foreboding thing, you know. I think it's a warning. I mean, you can take it. I'm not very superstitious about it in a sense. I find it intriguing and kind of mysterious. But at the same time, I think it's an omen in a sense of where America is heading and what's happening on the timeline and all the hostility and all the toxicity that is now eclipsing this world and especially this country. This is a critical turning point for this land, if you ask me.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this world.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what's happening in Ukraine, in Israel. I mean, and then look what's happening in this country with the crime. It's just so mm-hmm. bizarre. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
it's hard to believe it's the same. It's hard to believe it's the same country that I grew up in because.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was as rampant as it is today.
Yeah. We were just discussing that last night on my other show. And of course, it was a little bit more of a timeline difference with us, but not really. But yeah, I mean, things were like almost unheard of when it comes down to the crime. You just didn't hear about it the way you do today. And it certainly is more volatile than ever when it comes down to just random acts of violence.
Well, and the police presence all over mm-hmm. was far more increased than it is today.
Mm-hmm.
But, life changes. And, I mean, I can remember my mother talking about ice being delivered in an ice wagon pulled by a horse to their house when she was young. And, you know, it's hard to conceive. And yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking
early
1900s.
I mean, I thought the milkman was old school. Right? Yeah. We had a milkman.
Yeah,
And
the houses used to have these ice chests on their back porch, and they would get great big blocks of ice, and then that would be their refrigerator. So I had one of these big wake-up moments today. I had Thanksgiving dinner with my son and his family and the extended families, and there were two young children there, and somebody was talking about television and looked at me and I said, you know, when I was your age there wasn't such a thing as television. And we started talking about party lines and how the world has changed so dramatically, and what's fascinating to me was one of my grandchildren was there, and she's 18 now, and we started talking about party lines. And it took her a while to grasp what a party line was on the telephone.
Wow.
So
amazing.
She really thought it was you had a party on the telephone.
Oh.
And us older people can, you know, explain to her But mm-hmm. but it's sort of like at that point in time, tragedies then were almost everyday occurrences now,
mm-hmm.
which I find so sad.
Yeah.
And I think we are going through a time frame where we are deteriorating into behavior that you know you can take and put back, oh, I don't know, 50, 75, 100 years,
mm-hmm.
and even maybe even further. That society is not. Yeah, society is definitely disintegrating for a while here, and I'm hopeful
mm-hmm.
that, you know, when all of this craziness is done, that as we move into the new year, things will calm down and start to build back up again. At least that's what I'm hoping.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice viewpoint. We're just in the midst of this now for 2024, and I must say, let's see what happens if we can get to October or the summer, right? Because it just seems like it's rapid fire right now. Anything can happen. You know, I'm always good about making friends with change, you know, but negative change doesn't appeal to me. And it seems very foreboding on so many different levels when it comes down to what's going on. You know, that whole barge thing, that's just another example of weird Francis Scott Key. I mean, the symbolism behind it. I mean, you can go into the whole, all these corridors and look about what this represents on a more subliminal level, right? So very, very interesting.
Well, I think the one thing that got me when I saw what happened, I immediately flashed on the Point Pleasant Bridge that went down where Mothman was, you know, sighted in the vicinity before the bridge went down.
Very interesting.
And I...
That's good.
And I swear to you, I mean, I know it sounds silly and stupid, but I still, when I got that flash, it was, okay, what kind of paranormal activity has happened in the area on either side of that bridge in the 6 months before? Has there been an impact? Has there been an increase in any sort of paranormal activity, whether it's sightings of strange beings, UFOs, ghost hunting stuff, just weird stuff, of, you know? Because
mm-hmm.
I swear there was a parrot. I swear to you, and, you know, people have said, look, it was just an accident. And I said, nothing that big is an accident.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't an accident. I don't feel that it was terrorism, but I do feel it was a signal of some sort that paranormal activity was very active there, and that easily could have short-circuited the electricity. It easily could have made that accident happen. And you know, I'm going on record here because I do believe there's so much more to this than, you know, finding a pilot, or, you know, whatever. There's something else going on here.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's good that you put that out there. You're the first person that's actually mentioned anything like that. And I'm obviously a Mothman fan in a weird way. I mean, I'm very interested in the case. I know Mark's done phenomenal work with it and you as well. But it seems to me, I wonder just for the audience, if they have heard anything, I think maybe they can reach out to you. And I'd be interested in hearing if there's been anything anomalous going on for the past 6 months around that area as well. I think it's an excellent question.
I mean, I asked Mark to ask some of the guys, and they said, mm-hmm. no, nothing like that. But I don't think they took me seriously. So I'm going to do my best to do some research, because I really mm-hmm. think that part of the country, for some sort of reason or other, had an increase in paranormal activity.
Mm-hmm.
And an increase in paranormal activity can be anything from UFOs to poltergeist activity. Poltergeist activity could have short-circuited that boat. There's something mm-hmm. else going on here, and I don't care who they blame it on or whatever. I think there was a reason, and I don't know what it is.
Well, it's interesting. Like I said, for me, the first thing that comes to mind is Francis Scott Key. The symbolism behind that, the song, you know, it's just everything. To me, it's huge. You know, you can call it the spirit of the ancestors or a lot of different things, but the idea behind that, that accident happening, whatever you want to call it, I don't believe in accidents either. I find it very ominous. I find it very, very, very ominous and foreboding when it comes down to this country and the spirit of what was here to create this country on a lot of different levels. So, you know, a lot of people have been kind of stomping on the graves of the ancestors and disrespecting and kind of erasing what they established. And I think that that's very, that's probably not the best move on the chessboard, to be honest. I don't care what ancestor it is. You know, you can do the same thing on Maui where you're respecting the ancestors of the island. You walk gently in these areas, and I don't think that's happening anymore. There's a lot of aggression and anger. So that could be triggering a lot of this, too, on the paranormal level.
Yeah, I mean, I would be so, you know, I mean, certainly there was a battle there going on, for sure, so that there is that kind of activity. But at the same time, how about, you know, Indian battles? How about something that goes back even further? I think there was an activity that just rose up and short-circuited stuff around there. I'm wondering if there were any power fluctuations or anything like that prior to this. You know, I'm looking at 6 months before on each side of the bridge, and I'm not sure it's really smart to rebuild it, to be honest. Not in the
same place.
Well, it's
going to take us several years to even try. I don't even think they're going to be able to be honest with you. I don't think there's enough time on the illusion of the timeline. With what's happening here in this country and the world, I think we're at a real tipping point right now. So I don't even know if they have enough time to rebuild it, to be honest with you. We'll see what they come up with. Obviously, it's going to affect a lot of things for transport.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people who are out of work because of it, it's amazing. And I thought at first that none of the containers had been damaged, but several of them fell into the water, and they had hazardous material in them.
Naturally.
So, among other things, they've got to clean that up. But,
yeah, we'll see them do that.
There is something else going on.
No, I agree with you. I think it's multi-layered.
Well, I don't usually dig my heels in this way. You know, usually I'll say something and they'll say, nah, not. And I'll, for the most part, take somebody who knows what they're talking about seriously. But these guys that think they know it all just don't. And I think there's something else going on.
Well, I think it's a good angle you're using. It comes down to Mothman and prophecies and foreboding energies as a warning. It's also a warning. You know, we're just talking about this too. It's interesting you mentioned that because my other guest, I was talking to David Cook. He's wonderful, paranormal, and he was mentioning the Mothman. Like maybe it was about them staying off the bridge. Maybe the idea was not to make them so scared that of the Mothman itself, but the idea was to get them, you know, away from the areas that obviously something bad was going to happen to. And it's just interesting. I just think people should follow their instincts and their radar. And I don't know how many people actually had premonitions of that. That's another thing you look at. How many people had a foreboding kind of premonition? I know with 9/11, a lot of people did. So I don't know about this one. You know, this wasn't like a 9/11, obviously. But when there's something that big coming down the pike, usually people see it ahead of time, energetically.
Well, they're only they sent a Mayday out in time so that only six people passed away, they said.
Right.
Now, I don't know if that counts the cars that are at the bottom of the river. But so far as I know,
there
are only six deaths. Yeah.
Right. I think it was in the middle of the morning, wasn't it? It was like 3 a.m. or something, or I forget what time it was.
1:30.
Okay, it was early morning. Okay. Less
and
traffic,
they got
there,
the
I would
signal
imagine.
Out to stop traffic. So actually, I mean, I'm not sure how many cars are at the bottom of the river, but I think they said at this point only six people so far have lost their lives. So, I what it does to our economy is profound. But, you know, all the ships that used to come into there can easily go up the road a little bit to Virginia. I mean, it's not stopping a lot of stuff. Yes, a lot of people will be out of work, and that's going to be horrible. But, no, I think something else is going on.
Well, expect some more, in my opinion. I think that's we're going to have more incidents like that.
Well, yeah.
Just going that route.
We've got the eclipse coming. That's going to make things fuzzy.
Do you remember Final Destination? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, hon.
No. Go ahead. Final is a book.
There was a movie called Final Destination. I'm sure you all probably are familiar with it, or if you're not, I know probably Mark would be. It's basically just about this parallel of energy that's on self-destruct to take people down, and people start to die, but it's like a chain reaction of events. And it seems to me like that's what we're at. I mean, not that everybody's being hunted, but it is that weird energy that's just moving and unpredictable almost as an algorithm that seems to be creating a lot of chaos right now. If you look at it on that scale. So if you haven't seen the film, I don't know, it's probably not up your alley, but it is interesting just the way it's formulated and the storyline. So sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off on that. What were you going to say about your viewing?
Well, it's just that, you know, there is such an upset in the energy that you're seeing it manifest in Israel, in Moscow, in this country. I mean, when protesters go into St. Paul's Cathedral on an Easter service to disrupt it, that's
ridiculous.
That's such bad taste.
I mean, do we knock down their doors and say, hey, you know, and do that to them? I don't get it.
Well, and that's it. You know, it's sometimes I wonder if the laws are to protect the criminals are to protect the innocent. And the more I look at it, the more I think, people get arrested and they get turned loose the next day, no matter what the charge.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it's a criminal system,
so,
no doubt.
So when you look at it all, it's sort of like, this is a time when all bets are off. No matter what you do, you can probably get away with it. And
right.
It's terrifying to have to live through this.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting, and I was talking about this as well, is it's no rules, no rules. They don't go by any rules. Everything is corrupted. Everything has been contaminated right down to the legal system, which has become an illegal system. So at that point, there are no rules. There are no laws for anyone. It's not just about the criminals now. And this is my point to those who are good people and always been on the right side of everything. You know what? There are no rules here anymore. They're not going by the rules anymore, so don't be victimized by it is my suggestion. And I'm seeing more and more of them being harassed to that level. That's gaslighting, and that's harassment, and so many other things. These people just can't storm into other people's lives and destroy them just because they don't agree with them, or they think that they're doing something that they don't understand. You know, it's just, I don't know. I have no words sometimes for some of the stuff that's going on here.
Well, I think also there's two sets of rules, one for the elite and one for the lower class. There's no more middle class. Middle class is gone. It's
upper middle class, lower
class.
No poverty. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can call it whatever you want. But in my opinion, there shouldn't be any of that going on anyway. But nobody's a second-class citizen, even if they're treated like a second-class citizen. But I think that comes from the illusion of elite, which is really just they have too much money and time on their hands. And much of it has been accumulated through criminal acts. So these people aren't even, it's not integrity related when it comes down to how did you make your living and how did you make all that money. And everybody knows that if you get into Congress after I don't know how many years, you're a millionaire. It goes up and up and up. And they make an awful lot of money for supposedly doing public duty, service to the people, supposedly. So that's where the division is, and it's no good, and it's just going to get worse. You know, the glass tower they live in is shattered. So, it's as simple as that.
Yeah, it is a bit scary. On top of it all, we're supposed to continue along with our lives where we're going to be forced to buy electrical cars, where our food bill is more than our mortgage, and how do they expect us to survive?
They don't. That's the whole idea. Everybody's being—it's a slow kill shot, if you ask me. And when you think about it, the food supply is being contaminated with geoengineered garbage. I guess they want everybody to eat insects now. It's that kind of thing. And then we look at the electric cars. I'm sorry, I'm not a fan. And I can tell you, go-karts don't appeal to me, and that's what we're dealing with. Okay. So if you want to talk free energy like in Tron, where everything's you've got a really cool light cycle, then talk to me. I'm interested. But that's not what we're dealing with here on the timeline, you know. And not to mention, the spyware that's in these vehicles now is just off the rails. As I've told you before, it tracks your eyes. It monitors your driving. The newer models are just ridiculous when it comes to spyware. So I don't know if you're familiar with that or not, but I learned that with this loaner vehicle I got. And I had to put my sunglasses on to block the signal so that it wouldn't track my eyes.
Oh, my gosh.
It would actually disable it. That's the only way. Otherwise, it's sitting there playing Johnny Cab trying to, you know. And this is the kind of car that if you start to look to the right or you start looking at something on the side of the road, not like you're rubbernecking, it automatically starts to course correct. This is a dangerous vehicle. And this is where I'd say you guys be careful with these automatic cars, because to me, I think there can be a lot of problems with that with remote hacking and remote controlling. I'm a better driver than the program that they've designed in that vehicle. I can tell you that point blank. So that is no good. Don't give me my critiques. I know I'm going in another area, but you were discussing the cars, and that's just it. You know, they're loaded with all kinds of garbage. They're like, and the EMFs coming out of these things and everything else, it's really ridiculous.
Well,
so just something to think about.
I think also they tend to not work in cold weather, and if they get too hot, they blow up. I mean,
oh yeah,
that's not a safe car.
No, it's not safe.
I mean,
I agree. I like fuel. I'm all for free energy and so far as what we can come up with, but the electric cars and the things that they're doing right now with plugging your vehicle in and you only have so many hours, or maybe you'll find a place where a station where you can plug that vehicle in, is just ridiculous at this point. And once again, it's always to inhibit the driver. I think eventually they're just trying to keep it so that everybody's just doing, you know, they're just commuting through whether it's a train or something else. I don't think they want people driving anymore. I think that's part of the 2030 agenda. So we're seeing more and more of this going on. I don't think they want anybody here, to be honest, but the problem is they're going to have to go too. It's like, you know what? You don't get your way in the cornfield this time. I'm sorry. If you want everybody to be dissolved and everybody's supposed to just not be here anymore, or they're supposed to live a certain way like a slave and you get to sit on your high horse, no. And I think that's what we're seeing, especially, I suppose it's everywhere, not just America, but we're certainly seeing it here in this country.
Well, I agree with you. And I think that's excuse me, that's one reason why I brought up the remote viewing, because remote viewing is being utilized in a lot of places where it's surprising. I mean, there are, excuse me, pollen got to me today. There are.
I'm not laughing at you.
There's an organism.
Go ahead.
I'm just laughing because there's nothing else to do. But the remote viewing is being used with UFOs and stuff like that. And then the government was using it for a while, and they say that they stopped using it, but I don't believe them. So,
of course not. It's weaponized. It's electronic.
Even if it's only 70% accurate, that's better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's accurate, all right.
I still,
and so are we. Oh, go ahead.
Oh yeah. No, when I've done remote viewing, I've been really accurate. It's scary.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and I'm not volunteering to go looking into somebody's cupboard for something or anything like that, but I mean, it's a quality that you can develop if you work on it. It's like a muscle. And the more you work on it, the better you get.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But
absolutely.
But it's sort of like, I mean, it is spying in a very safe
way. Yeah,
it's But
well, nowadays, you know, the thing is, Robert, you have the natural organic way and components to remote view. I don't know if you have implants or not. I've never looked that. I don't think you do, but you could. Who knows? But I would say, just from where I've been with the technology, you can use that interface as an upgrade to remote viewing. And that's where I was really doing fast-forward remote viewing with the communication system, which was really just amazing when it comes down to the interface. And you said the more you use it, the better you get. That goes for regular gifts and also when you're doing interconnected gifts. And so, but yeah, it works. And I think that's the weapons system. That is the system they're using with their Defense Department and special people in their personnel department is that type of interface with the synthetic telepathy as well. Back in the day when I was interconnected, they didn't have that going on, and those people were not in that realm. But I think nowadays they've all gotten wind of everything, and they've been able to try to integrate this program into their own staff. So that's what I've noticed over the years, over the 20 years where I've been. So my two cents on that.
Well, you know, when you stop to think about it, if they are out to, in any way, shape, or form, control the populace, if they take away the internet, if they take away our telecommunications, remote viewing will be the only way we'll be able to contact each other.
Or with telepathy, yeah. Well, nowadays they want everybody interconnected. If you look at what SpaceX is all about and Musk and them, they're all trying to get everybody interconnected onto the internet. And I said it before, that's not where you want to be. You don't want to be plugged into some database that's been compromised by biased information. I mean, why on earth would you want to be stuck there? You want to be navigating in what I call off-world intelligence networks and systems where it's vast, like what we do normally. We just kind of traverse the galactic highway. There's no national security holding us back. There's nobody holding us in limitation. Otherwise, these people are just going to be distracted, and all that beautiful psychic energy is going to be poured into a database once again, and it's really worthless at that point. So I think the internet at some point is just going to implode, but they have their own version anyway behind the scenes, if you ask me, in these black departments. So, yeah. But people are always naturally psychic.
Well, yeah, and everybody is, and but it's not something that they are in schools doing anything to help them, you know, grow, to help them develop it, to help them take advantage of telepathy or remote viewing or any of the cool things that you can use it for. Now, in my experience, I've never been able to, you know, win the Powerball or anything like that with it. And I will say that there was a time where I did try, but that was a waste of money. But my mother and I tried. But you know, you have to try.
Well, I always thought that about. I've never tried it, but I get good numbers. I mean, who knows? But that's not my thing. That's not my thing. I mean, I worked surveillance and security in casinos for many moons, and I never gambled. I never, ever gambled. But I knew I probably would win if I did. So, I don't know. Maybe I should go to a casino and gamble. But it's just not my thing.
Well, you know, it's funny because the other night, because there was nothing else on TV, I turned on the World Poker Tour, and I could tell in a heartbeat when somebody had a hand, was bluffing, was, you know, it was just so clear. It was unbelievable. And again, that is cheating. But,
what?
You know, it's...
Because you can read people? Well, no, it's not. That's your gift.
Well, yeah. But...
counting cards is cheating.
I don't
cheating.
Know. They were... Yeah,
but you know, if you're just really good and your gnosis is on, I don't consider that a cheat. You're just good at what you do.
Yeah, but in a way, I just think it's not right to do it. And I don't know if I could do it put under pressure like that. You
I
know,
bet you
I,
could.
I
That's it. We're going to Vegas. No, I'm just kidding. Come on, Mark. Come with us.
Yeah, what the hell? I really think that it's part of the gift is to use it for other people, and you know that's that's at least been my philosophy, and it's worked out quite well for me, so I can't really complain any. But you know, you look at this stuff and you think, you know, I'm sure the government is trying to utilize gifted people in certain ways, and unfortunately, I think with the Montauk project, they were aiming at teenagers, I think, primarily, weren't they?
From what I understand, I think they were young males. I know a few that claimed to be Montauk clones, and a few that were supposedly in the project itself. So yeah. But from what I understand about that, it was just hardcore when it came down to, you know, the type of psychological warfare they were using on these people. And the abuse, it was just off the rails. So, you know, Preston Nichols was one of those guys I talked to. He's a very interesting person. So, yeah.
But you, when you look at all that and you go back that far and you think how strange it is that we are still using bullets and bombs when
they
there are so many other ways. No, of course not. There are so many other ways of doing warfare. The only
thing I can think of
is that they're using war to decrease the population.
Agreed. I totally agree with you. Yeah, because it doesn't make any sense otherwise. We don't need boots on the ground. We never did. We have plenty of surveilling systems when it comes to aerial warfare and satellite systems. We don't need anything. We can do it all remotely pretty much. And then the electronic warfare, the type of psychotronic weapons systems I'm familiar with, can take down a hive collective. It's not just about tagging one person. You can literally take down a whole group of people and personnel. If they're all plugged into the same band frequency, like say if they have implants or they're interconnected, like the technology I'm familiar with, then they can take them down in one beat, all of them at once, not just one or two. So, yeah, that's a nasty warfare program, but to me that's a very advanced warfare system. I would consider that to be something that's, you know, just way off planet kind of black ops type of tech. But, yeah, I see it. I see that we have plenty of technology to neutralize this system right now. I think they want to get rid of everybody. They just want everybody gone.
Well,
as far as
I'm
I can
beginning
tell.
To think the same thing because,
yeah.
You know, it's and as, you know, we're supplying, the U.S. is supplying the shells and the bombs and everything to Israel, and it's sort of like that's not the way you stop a war.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what other suggestion I would have since they are so battle-oriented, but it just seems to me that there has to be a better way to sort this stuff out. I mean, even if it were like playing a pinball machine. I mean, or
simulation.
Chess, or yeah,
well,
I mean,
games. It's
just
a simulation, you know. But go ahead.
Well, it's killing people, and half these people that are going to war don't even understand what it's for.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, they don't get anything. They're compartmentalized.
You know,
that's what's sad about it. They don't understand what they're doing there. And a lot of times these are young kids we're talking about that are losing their lives right now. So if they do have physical people that are being involved in this, it doesn't make any sense to go with this scenario. They could see it ahead of the timeline. If they're doing a simulation or doing any kind of exercise, they would be able to see the outcome ahead of time. So they don't need to get all their ships and all this stuff over there, you know, to posture. And, of course, it's just going to escalate, you know. Just going to get out of control. I don't think Russia's going to back down.
No, I don't think he can. He can't.
No, he can't. How much of this is them shaking hands over the table too? And there are games being played, so nobody really has the full storyboard, you know, when it comes down to it.
Right.
Which I think is really disturbing on so many different levels. While everybody goes to sleep at night, I mean, I don't know how people can sleep anymore because we have so much crazy activity going on behind the scenes when people are trying to just get some rest, you know.
Well, when you go right down to it, if you're looking historically at whose homeland is where, I mean, because of the conquering and because of the Crusades and because of everything else that's gone on, I mean, that the land has been owned by so many different groups who all say it was mine. And you get to the point where there was a time when there were no borders. And that was an awfully good time. It was pretty primitive, but it was still an awfully good time. And I'd like to see it go back to that way.
Well, I think they're trying to do that now, but I don't know if that's going to be a good solution to the equation. And also, I look at things as we're beings like us. I'm not saying everybody here on this realm, but there is a percentage of us here who are what I call visitors. In other words, we come from a different starseed collective and a different essence of origin off planet. When I talk about the DNA sequencing of the species, you know, the biosuit is a biosuit. Yeah, everybody looks alike, but they really aren't. And I think that that's part of it. You know, some of us just don't belong here to begin with. And then, of course, if you want to say, well, let's just have one big band of nothingness where it's just one blend, that's what they're doing to the border right now. They don't want borders in the United States. They just want it to be whatever it is. But with that comes no integrity because they're not vetting anybody. So we're dealing with a situation that can escalate into, and we've seen it already, that the crime is going way up because they're not vetting and they're not doing anything to support what's happening to people here. So you can see how that can go bad really quickly. And you can also see why people build fortresses and castle walls and things to keep them out. Well, look at the Vatican, the prime example of that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Look at their city. I mean, you think they're border friendly? I mean, think about it. Take down all your walls, buddy. So open up the catacombs, you know?
Well, in the beginning, when we were Pangea, it was one country, and it was one language, and it was one philosophical, spiritual belief system. Not religion, but philosophical belief system. And then as the plates divided everything, then we went into different languages and we went into different cultures and we went into different belief systems, and before you knew it, we were at war with one another. Which stinks. It really, I truly believe that over the millennia that the plates are going to drift back together again. And that will be a good time, I think. Yeah, I'll let you know, you know.
Yeah, keep us posted on that one. Is that one of your predictions? Is that in your new prediction, Myrtle?
Well, not for this month or next month, but...
Okay, so it's down the road.
Yeah. Yeah, but it will be in one of the books about where I believe that everything is going. We started as one, we're going to end as one.
Right.
And maybe
that's
when...
Well, you know
what's
interesting to me? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I want you to complete that. I didn't mean to cut you off, sorry.
No, I mean, it's... To me, it's where we're aimed, and at that particular point in time, it may be a little uncomfortable for a while, but I think it'll happen so slowly that we'll merge into it peacefully.
Well, that's interesting. You know, you can look in the time machine beyond the illusion of time and, you know, look about, I don't know, a couple thousand years ahead and see what's left of this place, if it's even in this particular configuration. That would be interesting. I don't see it here. I don't see it here at all, and I don't see the moon here either, but that's just me. Another thing I'm looking at, though, you know, the Arctic, and we've always talked about the Antarctic with Antarctica, but there's an awful lot of military up there around the Arctic now with all their exercises and all the things they're trying to do. And I find it interesting because of those of us who know the access points, north-south, insofar as how you can traverse, and also it goes way beyond, you know, anti-gravity and this and the other. I find it interesting that they're all going to these power spots, even if it's not something they see tangibly, physically. They're gravitating to areas where I know you can traverse on a galactic scale. So I think that's very interesting.
It is, and I think that, you know, when Admiral Berg went into Middle Earth, one of the things he said was that they had saucers that could go between the North Pole and the South Pole and back in a matter of hours.
Mm-hmm.
So, the more I look at the Earth plane, the more I think, you know, and actually know, is that as we are now, Homo sapiens or Homo sapiens sapiens or whatever you want to call us, we came into this plane, this dimension, not to be developed into what we are, but what we are, so that over time, you know, we are going to evolve further, obviously, but I think in many ways we're held back by the form that we're in now.
Well, definitely held back by the field. Not talking to ether, but I'm talking more about the weaponized field. So, you know, these culprits are global military, normally the ones who are basically weaponizing everything here with the electromagnetic spectrum, because it's not in harmony. It's not in the vibrational fields are not on a good harmonic right now, if you ask me. And a lot of this traversing, like we were describing from the poles and wherever else, it's access points or jump points. You don't need the electronics they use with the military. You're using beyond free energy with this stuff. It's not stuff you use here. It's beyond anti-gravity. So the joke is that we're working with electronics and things that we think is advanced, when in fact that's not even what we're supposed to be working with. It's more about what's off-planet and how easy it is for us to interconnect with other things, whether it's telepathic or whether it's accessing remotely. That's nature. That's cosmic nature. And what they're trying to do is keep everybody in a stasis of control here, which, of course, I'm the adversary for. I say no, absolutely not. We need to make leaps and bounds, and I don't believe in baby steps. I never have. I'm one who, I'm just a path cutter. So, you know, I go from 0 to 60, no breaks, no reverse. So, it's just the way I am. It's just, I can't slow down. And when people try to get me to slow down, I get very frustrated because that's not who I am, you know, it's just not. And I find that people have been completely stuck in the gravity well. Go ahead.
Well, I think we are going more and more towards the Tesla energy, than which you know boggles my mind because it's been around for so long, but the Tesla energy is free energy. And,
well, it is, but you'll never see it because. But go ahead. They're not using it like that. Look at him. He's got the Tesla name. He's basically kind of co-opted that whole vibration of Tesla. He's not Tesla. He's not Nikola Tesla. I don't know what the storyboard is behind that. But my point is, his technology is nothing compared to what's off planet. And yet they think this is some great deal. And to me, it's like he's not going into the future. He's going into the past. And he doesn't even know it with the rockets and everything else. It looks like it's advanced. And I know people may not see it that way, but I do. Because when you come from a level of knowing how that real free energy works, this is nothing. What they're doing is a joke. So why are we even looking at it? And then another thing is, what's with the NASA pictures? How come everything is like an artist's rendition? Where's the organic picture of something that they've actually taken a photo of that we can actually see that hasn't been sanitized? Can we at least get that? And nobody gets one. I mean, take a good look at the stuff out there. And I've been looking at a lot of these photographs. And I'm telling you, it's artist's rendition. Where's the real-time stuff? You know? I'm sorry, I'm changing the subject. I hope I'm not. But I just kind of go, when I start seeing this stuff, and it makes me very frustrated because we don't need their version of technology, which everybody thinks is so advanced, is actually nothing.
Well, I think they think we're stupid. And
well, they've dumbed everybody down, except you and I. Go ahead.
except us. One of the things that really has always upset me, and I have not had a clear answer to it, when we landed on the moon, supposedly, there were pictures and, you know, movies and everything. You didn't see any stars. Now, there's no atmosphere on the moon, so there's nothing that could have clouded the view of the sky, and yet you didn't see a single star. Why?
Well, you know, I've heard a lot of different storyboards connected to what they did. Whether they made it there or not, using the technology they had is almost kind of laughable. I'm not saying we don't have advanced technologies that could have gotten them to a destination through a jump point, because I'm very familiar with those, with traversing without a ship. But my point is, I'm not sure that's the way they went either. I think you have a great point on there. Another thing is, in my opinion, I think it does have an atmosphere. I think there are atmospheres that can be generated. Absolutely, they can be, whether that's through synthetic formulas or whether it's organic. And another thing is, connected to this moon versus this, what people call Earth, I mean, you look at it here, they're connected. There's a connection. Unfortunately, there's kind of like this entanglement. So I find that it's very livable on a lot of levels, even though people wouldn't say that. I think there are ways to be able to sustain yourself there. And so far as the stars go, yeah, I think that's a great question. And I know people have had answers for it. I don't believe anything they say. Honestly, I'm not even conspiracy oriented. I just don't trust them. I've been through areas in their cyber department that I understand that they lie compulsively and that they're so programmed to lie that they don't even care. You know, it's compartmentalized data. So, you know, that's what they do. So how are we supposed to believe anything they say? And of course, they want everybody to be proud of the United States and proud of accomplishments and, you know, accomplishments, excuse me. And then of course, well, look at what they're trying to do today. It's NASA, NASA, NASA. And they're still working on the same crap they've always been working on, with, you know, plus or minus stealing information that beings like me put out. And I say that, and I'm not kidding, but I don't think they've really made that many leaps and bounds as people think they have. I really don't. And I understand why they need to sit there and play a circus ride anyway. Why don't they just say, you know what, you guys have advanced technology, we know it, because I've been through a lot of it. And I just say point blank, just don't show us any more crap. Okay, we don't need a jack-in-the-box show. If you can't do anything that's legitimate, shut it down. Shut down your department because we don't want to look at it anymore. It's fake. Get away. And I know that sounds terrible, but I'm sure there are some pictures that look okay. But I would tell you point blank that most of it is nothing we can utilize or use for our own research.
Well, yeah, I know that Mary Joyce had photographs of Antarctica that was showing actually a community, as a town, actually, as the ice was melting. You could see the buildings where the buildings were and all sorts of stuff, and she took pictures of it. And when she sent, because she sent me this stuff, and when I took the address, sort of, and looked at it, they had already been blanked out. So
isn't that interesting? Yeah. Well,
yeah,
and Google's not real time either, you know. That's another thing. I'm sure people realize that.
Yeah.
It's not real time. So you're still looking at stuff that's kind of old, or maybe, you know, there's a window there. In my opinion, they do have a very advanced satellite system that can zone in and real time, but no one will ever see it here. No one's going to see it on the regular Internet. But, yeah, there's data like that. But when it comes down to Antarctica, yeah, we can find our way over there easy. I know the jump points. I know the access points. I know what to look for, and I know the locations. And I'm not talking the stuff that she was looking at. So I can tell you, yes. And that's why I get so annoyed, because it's not fantasy. It's not like we're just thinking and we want to believe there's something. I said, I know. I actually know this without a shadow of a doubt. So why are they lying? You know, it's like it's all national security related or under the guise of national security. They want to keep everybody ignorant. Look, we're all beyond 10 years old, okay? So we're not little kids that need to be coddled. I don't need anyone to hold my hand. You know, I'm not afraid, so don't sit there and try to keep everybody in a stasis of control, because you don't want to give everybody the opportunity to learn from something that's way beyond here. And I see that often. And we grew up with that. We grew up with all that deception.
Look what happened in, I think it was 41, I think, I'm not sure, with War of the Worlds.
Yeah,
people panicked like crazy. They were terrified. And I think that they are looking back at a population that is far older and better informed than we were in 1941 or whenever that happened. And and it's sort of I don't think there would be panic. I mean, if aliens are going to be aliens, they're, you know, interterrestrials.
No, we're already aliens. You know what it is? Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say we can't use the word alien, really, because we have aliens coming across our border, and I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about extraterrestrials.
Yeah, he calls them the newcomers, don't worry. And that's out of another sci-fi movie, by the way. Newcomers isn't a really good idea to call them that. I call them illegals, because that's what they are, even though they're not, you know, you can call them whatever you want. But Alien Intelligence is the name of my book, and I'll be damned if I'm going to change that title. So. You know,
no, I would think not.
Intelligence. Yeah, we are the extraterrestrials. So, yeah, so it's interesting. But for me, from my perspective, I would say that it's kind of like you have to worry about people. They'll calibrate to the field properly. It's energetic. It's a frequency. Just like when you raise your consciousness, right, you get more clarity. It's the same thing when you're hitting a different field or a different configuration. You're still changing the biomolecular suit, and all of a sudden the vibration gets higher, the clarity comes in. We don't need them coaching us. We don't need people holding our hands. It's like taking a ride to one on an elevator to one level, one floor, and then getting off on a higher floor. So in my opinion, I think the mass collective could handle it if they wanted to, but they also have been socially engineered. And that's why I've always said breakaway civilizations is where we're at. And that's why I'm a breakaway. I acknowledge I'm a breakaway, and I'll do my damnedest and best to try to find a pathway to get us out of here. If I want to, if you want to come with me, that's great. I'm not kidding. I'm really looking for beyond stargates and portals and moving and showing, not just saying, well, this is what it is and here's the energy, but literally telling you the body can change. The body can vibrate and change its own identity and molecular structure and biomolecular structure to a point where we can actually traverse. And I find that that's the way we've always done things. As cosmic beings, what they do here is very backwards to me. That's why I always look at the rockets like, why are they still doing that? Why do they use things like that? We don't need things like that. You know?
No, it's
Mark.
I think that those kind of things are kind of like people going camping. You know, let's go out to outer space. Let's go to the U.S. space station. This is camping. This is not space travel. This is, you don't travel in space this way. And it doesn't cost this kind of money to travel in space this way. I mean, it takes so much more to understand everything. They keep dumbing us down, not giving us information, making the populace more primitive than they should be, and not allowing them to make choices for themselves. I mean, it's ridiculous what's happening. And why?
It's very ridiculous.
I mean,
I think it's control. I think they're psychotic and they just want to be in control. But they're trillions and billions of dollars. It's like the little boy in the Twilight Zone episode? I think it was Twilight Zone, correct me if I'm wrong, where he's putting everybody in the cornfield because he can, you know? I think it's really one of those things where it's about control and manipulation, but not at everybody's expense and suffering. And what I find is that this is a huge disservice to anyone or anybody who's trying to break the barrier of the limitations here, especially when it comes to education or evolution, whether it's spiritual or another level. It's such a disservice, and that's why I'm not accepting it. That's not okay with me. That they're doing these things, and they're not the all-seeing eye. I mean, I know people think that on a conspiracy level. They really are. We are the all-seeing eye, actually. We are the eyes in the sky, not them. So looking at it from our ancestors' perspective, which is cosmic, I think we have a lot more clarity than they'll ever get. It comes down to what the decisions are here.
Oh, I totally agree. And the thing that really gets me is that you know that there's so much more that could help society as a whole. It could take away the poverty. It could take away so much of the illnesses that are out there. And the answers are already there. They've already been discovered. It's not a matter of waiting for the magic pills. And it is so frustrating knowing that that's already available and people are suffering. That doesn't make sense to me. And I understand.
No, they're trying to ban everything.
Well, and they're trying to get the population down to a very manageable number, and they're doing a good job.
Well, if that was the case, why didn't they just enforce people not to have children? If they wanted to do it like that, why now is my point. Why did you wait until everybody grew up? Why, if you had to bug up your you-know-what about you know, how many people are supposed to be on this realm, why didn't you stop it early on? Why now, I guess is my point, the illusion of space-time. And I think it's because they realize that there are a lot of beings like us here who are very advanced and aren't going to put up with the game. The facade has been, it's a joke, it's ended. And I still don't understand why people are even believing 90% of the stuff that's going on out there when it comes down to the mainstream information or even things that are being said. We don't need them, we never did need them, we don't want them. And I think when I say them, I'm talking about the controllers here. And that's going away, whether they like it or not. Now I think it's a self-destruct because they've decided to posture with these wars, and it's just going to put them in a downward spiral. It's kind of like the end of the Planet of the Apes, you know. It's just going to be one of those scenarios where you just have to go past the dead zones and get out of here for everybody, not just the United States.
Well, I'm kind of worried somehow, a little, that we're looking at something like the French Revolution cropping up in us. We are basically told, you know, just cut back on your groceries or whatever. they're making it impossible to have a comfortable life. Sooner or later, and this could be in 10 years, 20 years, I don't know what, but sooner or later, if it continues this way, it would seem to me that the populace will finally get enough of it and say, enough, we're going to take down the whole government. And, you know, I hope they don't decide to take out the guillotine again, but you know, just taking the country back.
Right.
I mean, when you look at the overwhelming numbers, when you look at the riots they're having in Giza, when you look at what's going on in Moscow and in the Ukraine, and you know, and in this country as well. And mm-hmm. and what really gets to me is, I would say, at least 60% of the people that are rioting don't know what they're rioting for. They're just let's burden, pillage, and steal. I heard some interviews with people that were sort of plucked out of the crowds, who were ranting and raving, and what are you fighting for? What are you doing this for? And they kind of would give you a blank stare and say, because the rest of them are. And, that's not a good answer. If you're going to have that behavior, at least know what it is you're out there fighting for. But
right.
it's frightening.
What's interesting? Oh, I agree.
What?
Yeah. I was just thinking, it reminds me of a movie, because everything is here like the Truman Show, right? It's all staged. And for me, and I can just share something with you, I don't like going to theaters. This is people who know me. I'll get there early and I'll leave early. I'm one that doesn't like to hang out and watch the endings, and I just can't handle it. For some reason, I'm always looking for an exit. I just need to go. I think that's my training. But anyways, that's how I feel about this scenery here. I really don't want to get involved in this, whatever it is they want to do. I just want to get out of here. I want to get out of the line of fire and get the hell away from these people. And I think that's where the breakaway civilizations and societies come in. But I do see the boomerang hitting these corporations under the guise of government. I know they're going down. I know that they will go, what you want to call them, extinct or whatever. There will never be another D.C. again. Now, I know they think this is a permanent thing. They've been fixtures forever, and now they're building their bunkers, and they have lots and lots of money to pay, get involved with artificial intelligence and all this other stuff, but they're still going nowhere. They've done a huge disservice, and what I'll tell you is that when it goes, it's gone. It's not going to be rebuilt. Okay, so don't think there's going to be a new one. There won't be. And the ancestors have already made that decision. So that's it. That's it. And that doesn't mean, the people there, well, I don't know. What are their children going to do? What are their grandchildren going to do? The thing you were mentioning, people aren't going to benefit. They haven't been benefiting. People have been on food stamps. A lot of people are on food stamps. A lot of people don't have enough money to put in their cars. A lot of people sleep in their vehicles, and they're thinking this is okay. This is your average American who used to work very hard to have a living or even be an entrepreneur. So nobody's having a free ride here. And the idea behind us, like we're spoiled brats or something, is just obsolete. Because everyone I've ever known since the beginning of when I entered onto this realm has always worked. They've always built something for themselves, And a lot of them didn't have money to go to college. They put themselves through school. They didn't have anybody handing them a piece of paper saying, here's the money and here you can go to school. All these things. So probably giving a lecture now. I don't mean to, but it does kind of irritate me.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know my son paid off his student loan and his wife's student loan. And it makes me angry that now kids are saying, well, I don't have to pay my student loan. I'm not going to pay my student loan. And something, they'll get away with it. And it's sort of like, yes. And that bothers me. It really does. I mean, not that they have to pay off huge amounts of money. That bothers me too. Education should be affordable. I know that my granddaughter will be going to college starting in September, and if it were me on a teacher's salary, I don't know how I would have sent my son to college. The colleges are anywhere from, I don't know, 50, 60,000 a year to 100 and some thousand a year. How? You can't tell me their education is worth that.
They're
it's
not even
going to
get a
really
good education.
No, they're not. And usually the first year is catching them up on what high school didn't teach them. So it's
you mean like
it's
the political
just,
propaganda? Because that's pretty much 90% of the class.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's all
and,
it's about nowadays.
And,
it's all political. Yeah.
And even then, they're not getting what the true history is.
No.
And that really bothers me.
Right.
I know that there's a whole segment of the population that says the Holocaust did not happen. Sit them down for a couple of minutes with people with tattoos on their arms and let them hear about what it was like in the camps. It's horrifying to me. When people, there's a book that I highly recommend. It's by Charles Pellegrino. It's called The Last Train for Hiroshima. And it talks, he interviewed people that survived the Hiroshima and the Nagasaki bombs. It is the most moving, touching, frightening story I have ever read in my entire life. And I read a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. It is a book that interviews people that survived them and what it was like. And it is a channeled book. If ever there was a channeled book, it was this book and the story that
mm-hmm.
he tells. And if you read this book, you will never, ever want to see another one of those bombs dropped, ever. And
mm-hmm.
it's my opinion that they should not have been dropped in the first place. Because it started a generation of nuclear fear that is horrible.
I think that was the whole idea.
Well,
the Psy War,
But now so many countries have a nuclear weapon.
Oh, everybody
that,
does.
That will use them. And
terrifies
me.
Yeah, I mean, we have terror cells over the border right now. I said, they're all expecting something to go down. We don't know that somebody's here. They give you this idea that, well, of course they left the border open, so of course something's going to come through, right? Dumbass, excuse my French, but...
Oh, yeah.
It's all that stuff that goes on here. You don't want to give these primitive people that kind of technology, and that's not even that advanced, in my opinion. Heaven forbid they get their hands on electronic warfare, which I know they have, and all kinds of psychotronic weapons. It's beyond the Havana syndrome. If people are complaining about that, that's nothing compared to the stuff I'm familiar with. So you're dealing with stuff that can really neutralize a target very, very quickly, remotely, without its killerless, it's odorless and tasteless. But bottom line is that those are technologies that are out there that you don't want to be seen on the black market, but I'm sure they are. So I think it's a free-for-all at this point. I really do. And it's very concerning because the wrong people have the technology. The wrong people have access to a lot of very bad toys that could do a lot of harm on a global scale. And they don't think twice about, turning their key on it.
And what gets me is that if they start dropping those bombs, it will be a chain reaction.
Yeah,
somebody
else
will
drop
one. Somebody else will drop one. and they're going to end up contaminating the whole planet.
Well, I think they already are
contaminating
it. But go ahead.
But then the question is, okay, so you contaminated the whole planet. It's a dying planet. It's a dying people. What did you win?
They win nothing, but they'll live underground like warlocks. Sit there and come out for food and ring a sounding alarm, I guess, for the little Eloi that are surviving up on the ground control level. I know I'm making a joke about it, but my point is that's really where they're at. unless they're planning on getting a lifeboat and leaving this particular space-time, which I don't think they can do because they don't have the right trajectory for a different space-time configuration, they might be able to traverse a little bit here and there, but not into a different space-time. So that I know. So they'll die in space, and they'll die trying to get to a destination. Or they'll go underground, but they're never going to make it. And they deserve it, yeah, exactly. Actually, if they pull that kind of a, yeah.
I mean, exactly. There's no place to go.
Well, no, and that's what I always said. That's why I'm always looking for jump points and access points. But I do know there is a place to go for the breakaways, and that's my point. If they just left us alone and let us work on our own projects without censorship, without people trying to shut down all these great minds over the years and the decades with their discoveries, we could have been way beyond what we're doing right now in this realm. And the stuff that they're doing here with the warfare programs, we wouldn't have any of that going on. People get so advanced in consciousness and beyond the spectrum of here, they don't want war. Nobody wants war. I don't. I'm an Aries, and I mean, Mars is my ruling planet in the illusion of, and I don't like war. Okay, I counter things if I have to, but I really don't like war. So I don't get it. It's like they have nothing better to do.
Well, it's just, it doesn't make sense. You destroy
no logic.
The planet. You know, I mean, at least when they were using battle axes and spears and arrows and stuff like that, when they won a country. They won land. They could settle. They could grow things in. They could, you know, cultivate. But now, everything is going to be poisoned. So there's
Well, it depends on where they detonate the bomb. But no, I agree. I mean, you know, it'll definitely change. But that's also terraforming too. So think about that. They like to terraform. So make no mistake on that one. I find that they probably do something to annihilate people and actually leave this realm itself as best they can, because they do want the territories for whatever reason. They want to fight for this prize here, which in my opinion, I think they're going to fall off the cliff with a prize. I really do. I think that it's not going to be what they think it is in the end.
Well, I would agree with you, but you know, I don't plan on being here when that happens.
No, I'm not planning. I actually am amazed. Each year goes by, and I've lost a lot of really wonderful people. We all know we lost Mike Pfeiffer, and I loved him so, blessing his spirit. But, you know, the thing is, everybody's checking out, or they're going to another universe. I've lost a lot of people over the past 10 years, and I never see myself. I always see myself teetering between realms, you know, just kind of I'm here, and I'm jumping between timelines, and I'm observing. But, yeah, I never take anything for granted here. And I can remember days where before everything happened to me in 2004, I actually remember just being appreciative of life and the flowers or nature or animals and just being in a really positive state of mind. And those moments, man, are very, very, they just don't really exist much, because this is such a weird world. It's so dim that you become the only light for that, right? But it's nice to be able to discuss these things. And but it certainly has changed. I mean, like I said, I don't have a positive viewpoint for what's here right now. So I don't know what your remote viewing is telling you for the next year or two, but I don't see good things here. Okay.
Well, you know, I so fought against doing the cosmic forecasts because they weren't fun anymore, because there was a negative feel to them. And I got talked into it, and, you know, I'm doing them monthly and weekly. And
oh, that's cool.
But, yeah, the weekly ones, yeah, the weekly ones can be found on my Facebook page, the fan page. And that's BarbaraDeLong.com. And the monthly ones, as well, and you know, you can sign up to be on the fan page to follow me, joining my circle, so to speak, and then you'll get notice of, you know, all the cool things that are coming up. But you'll also see there the weekly ones and the monthly ones, and
nice.
And the yearly ones when they come out.
I don't see you on my page, so I'm
going
to have to click on the follow or something.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's funny. The fan page and there's another. I have three Facebook pages, but it's interesting. When I send out a blast, not everybody. I mean, on one of my pages, I've got 4,700 people. They don't all get the messages that I put up there. No, I've got lots of people, but for some reason Facebook isn't sending stuff out the way one would think it would. But the fan, the fan page probably is the best, you know, if you follow the fan page, that's probably the best thing to do, because then, you know, you will get notified when stuff goes out. Or if you go to the website, join the circle there, and when emails go out to tell people about new stuff and everything, you'll get an email on that.
That's excellent.
But, you know,
it's
set up, but, you know, try to get people to join.
I know, people are so sidetracked, but your work is wonderful. I encourage people to sign up. I'm going to check it out, too. But I noticed that a lot of my friends, a lot of people that I follow, I never see anything on my feed. So I don't know if it's just being sanitized or what's going on, but I have to actually go over and hunt for people usually to find them and to see what they're doing. It just doesn't show up.
Well, I'm finding that even though I have over 1,000 people, only 35 actually open, you know, things on the site. So
is that right?
Wow. You know, I guess I think that maybe people are looking for, I don't know, gossip or whatever. All I'm doing is putting spiritual stuff out there. So
I like the work you're putting out.
Actually, the April prediction is probably, I would say it's close to spectacular, because not only do I do the prediction for the month, but there's a channel piece in there that is really quite profound. So it'll be worth looking at. The email will go out to people, I think, tomorrow. And hopefully tomorrow I'll have that one up on YouTube as well. So look for it.
Excellent. I'll have to look and see what's going on the 20th.
Oh,
it's
yes,
my birthday
it's
on that day. That's why.
Is
it better
it?
Be a good day, Barbara. Yes, it is. You probably have something really, really ominous on that date. I'll have to go check your forecast
now.
I
don't do day to day, but I do week to week. So,
Okay, I'll check it out. All right.
I'll make sure it's only positive stuff on the 20th.
Oh, the sun is shining. It's just beautiful. Perfect. Thank you.
Well, is it a big birthday or a little one?
I'm just getting older by the day, and the illusion of time, you know. Getting older, yeah. So crawling up that ladder. But, yeah, I can't believe I'm still here. I'm amazed at my years, you know. I'm not young. Not a spring chicken anymore.
Yeah. None of us are.
Just like, I feel like it's weird
because
it's like, yeah, this past 10 years have been like, I think it's since the shutdown, I feel like everybody's gone into this aging thing where it's just been really weird.
Well, I'm finding that people are quitting before they're done. I had a friend who was a scientist, and her name was on bunches and bunches of patents. And when she quit working, when she retired, my God, she quit. Her brain just went to nothing. I mean, she didn't keep challenging herself in any way, shape, or form. It was like, I'm done. And I'm seeing that in a lot of people that, you know, are retired, and it's like, well, this is my time to do my thing. And then you say, well, what is your thing? I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet. And it's like, holy mackerel, find a thing, anything.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I agree. You don't want to just be a vegetable. You want to do something. Yeah, I agree. And you have the time to do it, right? But isn't it sad that you have to wait until you retire to do something you really want to do? See, I think the ideal situation is to do your passion and make a lot of money at it, do what you're best at, and be abundant and just have a great life. And that's perfect, you know, because when you're working and doing something you enjoy, it doesn't feel like work. It's just fun. Like writing, for example, although it doesn't pay much, but it's one of those things, you know.
Yeah, when I was in my 40s, I was forced into early retirement, and I've been in this field ever since. And, you know, it's amazing. And you know, somebody said, well, aren't you worried you're going to die? And I said, I can't die. I got too much to do.
And you have a cat.
Well, you know, it's funny. A very long time ago, I had to be in my 30s. I came down with ulcerative colitis, and the doctors told me that I was going to die of it. Now, this is before I was really heavy duty in any of this stuff. And I said, nah. And the doctor sat me down and said, you have to understand, you're going to die of this. And I looked at him and I said, I am not going to die. I have too much to do. I'm too busy. And I'm not going to die. And he said, you've got a year. And I said, I have lots more than 1 year. And now it took maybe 10 years to get rid of the ulcerative colitis. But I'm still here and I'm 80. So
yeah,
that was like
you.
50 years. And when I look back,
you should
at
call
it,
that doctor
at that,
and say, you're going to die.
I think he's dead.
He probably is. Jerk. Good grief.
But, you know, it's kind of like if you have goals, if you have things that you want to do that are within your ability range, for heaven's sakes, do them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got piles of stuff that you have that you want to work on or get into or get involved in or whatever. And yeah, I do too. I have stuff I want to write. And it's just so crazy to think of just sitting and drooling and watching soap operas. Maybe
that's
not
disgusting.
Drooling, but, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. It's the linear boredom. I don't relate to that regular, I don't know if they're muggles or not, but I just never related to that kind of crowd. You know, I'm very eccentric and kind of cerebral, you know, and technical and weird and spiritual too. So, yeah. I'm always looking at something. And
but you know, people,
and
you know,
and, you know.
Well, I mean, I read a book a week, at least.
Yeah,
And people will say, well, I can't do that. And, you know, it's kind of like they have books on
tape.
They
try. They have comics.
You can
get through one of those.
Oh, I love comics.
I
but,
do,
but
too.
The comics
Julie
I love
even better.
Are no longer. Well, yeah. No, it's just. You know, the things that gave me minor pleasure when I was younger no longer appeal to me at all. But it's just like, you know, you kind of get to a point where it's like, oh, come on. Life has so many things that you can get involved in, that you can do, that you can experience, that, you know, for heaven's sakes. Learn a new language. I mean... And actually, you know, these computer games that they've got, and I'm not talking about the shooting ones where you kill, you know, aliens or Nazis or whatever, but the puzzle-solving ones are great for your brain. They they did studies in nursing homes where they gave half of the patients these games that were brain teasers, you know, match three and all of that kind of stuff, and the other half they didn't. And after about 6 months, they found that the ones that had been playing the games had greater mental acuity. They had, you know, better eye-hand coordination. They had a sparkle to them, and the others didn't. So play a game or two, for heaven's sakes. Do something.
Yeah, be active. No, I totally agree. Yeah, it's just a number anyway, really, when you think about it. I think the biggest thing is, we want to have as a peaceful life as we can without all the turbulence that is being deliberately orchestrated by what's happening in, you know, this government. And I think that's the biggest thing I'm looking at. It's not like I just want to just bail out. I'm just discouraged by the corruption and the level of disgusting propaganda that's been going on that just doesn't seem to cease. You know, it just seems like rapid fire insanity. And you know, where do you go to get away from all that? You know, where do you go to get away from it? And I've told you before, I have air traffic over my house, so I can't even enjoy the night sky anymore or the daytime out there. You know, it's a beautiful area where I live, and there's nothing but noise, nothing but planes, nothing but that.
Oh, wow.
And it really takes away from the beauty of this place. Initially, they weren't supposed to have any flying around here at all, and they changed the flight path. So it is really becoming unbearable almost for me. So that's been one of the thorns in my side for the past 4 years here. Plus this administration isn't not a fan of that either. So,
yeah. Well, hey, that
like
does
the beach,
happen. Yeah. No, when we lived in Minnesota, we were on an air path, and we were way high on a hill over the Mississippi. We looked St. Paul and Minneapolis, and there were a few times when the planes were so low, my mother would open the front door and the back door and just say, come on through, because they flew low.
Yeah.
But it was...
It's ridiculous.
And, you know, when you get technology, it's sort of like, how do you find a quiet place? To just be quiet. And the only thing
I really
can
like
think
that.
Of it. Yeah, I do too. And the only thing that I can figure on is if I turn everything off and I go into my closet, I have a really deep walk-in closet, and I shut the door, and about 1 or 2 in the morning in there, you can get absolute quiet for maybe 15 minutes.
Well, that's nice.
But it's, yeah. But then some
motorcycle
goes through.
Does it have a lock? Just don't lock yourself in there.
No. I usually take the cat in with me because otherwise she'll sit outside the door and howl.
Oh,
but
that sounds about right.
But you know, it's to just get into a place where there is no noise. No clocks ticking, no computer dinging, no cell phone beeping at you, nothing, just quiet. And, man, finding a place like that is so hard because there's usually something that is going to, you know, jar you out of that peaceful place. But if you can get 15 minutes in, you've had a meditation that is just priceless, and it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I think float tanks are good. I liked those. I've used those in the past, but I don't have one here. But I love float tanks. That's something I can do when you think about it, when I think about how I could get away from all this. But also, you know, Haleakala comes to mind. I used to love to go up there when I lived on Maui because it's just so beautiful. It looks like an alien landscape. You get up there, and it's very peaceful, very peaceful. Even when I was being interconnected with all kinds of tech, it was very, very nice.
Have you ever used any of the Solfeggio music with headsets?
You know, I have here and there, and I usually play music for the dogs and the animals. So there's usually some background music in the house. But, you know, these planes, when they come over, you can hear them. Plus, I can hear the frequencies before they even show up. That's how hypersensitive I am. So that's, like, annoying as hell. There's always, like, a white noise broadcast in the house. You'd probably go nuts. You come in here, you'd probably, like, oh, my gosh. Because I'm not kidding. It's really obnoxious. I'm kind of immune to it now, but it doesn't make it okay. You know, I don't think it's healthy. So dogs seem okay. I don't know.
Well, I every now and then look at the cat, and if the cat is just chilled out, I know that, you know, everything's fine, not to worry.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I hear something that she probably heard way before I did. But the Solfeggio music, I just love. Because if you have headsets on, you don't hear the external noise. All you're getting is the sound in your head. And, oh, my goodness, it takes you to amazing places. And it's not like you're being led in a meditation. It's a harmonic so that you're not tapping your toes or listening for a tune you recognize or anything like that. It's a harmonic that is flowing through you that really does open you up to other realms and other dimensions and other levels of consciousness or awareness, whatever you want to call it. And I know I have a friend that he's a musician, and I gave him some of the Solfeggio music, and, you know, his first response was he really couldn't quite get into it. And apparently he's lately gotten into it, and he said, I just had to get used to it. You know, he said, it takes me to such magical places. And depending upon the frequency you're listening to, it's either you know, spiritual or healing or love or, you know, any of the different aspects and concepts that we work on from time to time. But it mm-hmm. just, I do the spiritual ones because I love the spiritual. And I mm-hmm. find that after I've listened for, I don't know, 15 minutes to 30 minutes, when I take the headset off, I can sit down at the computer and I am totally inspired in lots of different ways and places.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
it does.
Definitely.
It takes away a lot of the garbage.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. Yeah, it takes away the extra noise, so to speak. Yep, that's a great idea. You know, it's interesting. Remember in the old days when they had the sign-off, they'd have the national anthem, and then they'd have that tone?
Yep.
And, of course, I think it was just like white noise. But I don't know what happened. I guess it's nowadays people just have nonstop television or something. I don't own a TV, so I don't know. I use my computer, though. But it would be interesting to see, instead of music and all this other stuff that they're playing, if they would just hit frequencies. And use a frequency and not have a nice frequency, not something that's annoying, but what you're describing, I think that would be nice to see that instead of all this other stuff going around.
It was in the 80s, sometime in the 80s, where the TV went to 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
Up until then, you know, the national anthem played it at midnight, I think, and then they shut down for the night, and they woke up, I don't know, at 5 or 6 in the morning again, but it just is, it's electronic garbage that clutters mm-hmm. your mind. And mm-hmm. so it's kind of, at least with, you know, with some meditation music, I'm familiar with it and I know what's coming, but with the solfeggio, because it's just a tonal thing that is happening, you don't recognize it. So it gives you a chance to drift into other levels of awareness, mm-hmm. which is kind of fun.
Yeah,
I think the one
excellent.
Everybody has made solfeggio musical tapes now, but the ones that I listened to were by Ted Winslow. He was one of the first, and I just think it's magical.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's very
I'm
nice.
Easy to please.
No, that's a good reminder. Well, thanks for bringing that up. It's really a great suggestion for people, especially even me, because sometimes I just need to do something like that. So,
well,
very
and the
good.
the other thing, I mean, that does shut out external noise, and the other thing that I am fighting, which is so cool. They have adult coloring books now.
Oh, those are great.
So
yeah, I like those.
Oh, they're an amazing meditation tool, and so are huge jigsaw puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I love those.
The bigger the better, because in one aspect, you have your life in front of you in pieces, and as you spend the time to put the pieces together, to get the corners, to get the borders and everything, it's a matter of focusing on putting this together, and in essence, on another level, you're putting your life together.
Mm-hmm.
So
very true.
And something you can actually do with other people. And I had a friend... I had two friends once, they were sisters, and my mother and I had a huge puzzle laid out on the table, and the one sister kept saying, "Don't let her sit down, don't let her sit down, don't let her sit down," and she sat down, and we lost her.
Oh, nice. That's funny.
Yeah, our plans for the evening were gone. She was into the puzzle.
Yeah, that's
but
pretty cool.
You know, to meditate, you don't have to do traditional stuff. You don't
mm-hmm.
have to do what everybody else does. You have to find a way to shut your thinking mind down, and allowing your creative mind to flow. And once I have done needlepoint, I've done knitting, I've done, you know, I do a lot of stuff like that so that mm-hmm. you know, my head, my mind, better way to put it, my mind is bored so my spirit can play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know.
That makes sense.
And it is a spiritual concept, but it's also, you know, spiritual enlightenment, ascension, all of that stuff. Well, it's very serious. It doesn't have to be so serious that you forget to laugh and be joyful.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
And I think many people do that. You know, they get so serious about it. You know, I'm going to do my meditation now, and, you know, everyone has to shut up, and we have to turn. Yeah, I mean, that's good if you can do it, but the reality is meditation takes many forms, and mm-hmm. whatever form works for you is what you should do.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
Don't expect other people to join you, but unless, of course, you're going to do something like, astral traveling or remote viewing or what we did with when we traveled to the pyramids. That was remote viewing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to do something in a group, at least make it going someplace fun so that you have a, mm-hmm. you know, there's purpose to it.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
I keep saying I want to do that again because it was such fun to do.
Oh, I know. I'd be up for it. I love it. I think it's excellent. It's a good exercise to get into.
Well, it was a very short meditation. I think we only actually meditated for about 15, 20 minutes tops.
Mm-hmm.
And went somewhere, saw something, brought back images or feelings or whatever, and were able to share them.
Mm-hmm.
I keep saying I'm going to do it again, and as soon as I get a little bit off my plate here, there's not room for dessert even yet. So, you know.
Well, eventually there will be, right? I know you're busy. You're busy like I am.
Now, have you published your new book, or is it still in writing?
No, I'm working on my map, and I'm kind of working on an alternative book too. But the map is priority, so. Right now it's the map. So it's kind of not, it's just not moving that fast, but I'm not working on it that rapidly either. So it's taking my time. And then I'm doing the shows and trying to get things organized around here. So, yeah.
Well, you've
it just
got
feels like
two
I've
shows,
been preoccupied.
Friday? I
What's
mean,
that?
You have what, Friday and, your shows are Friday and Saturday?
Yeah, Friday, Hyperspace Night Files on Friday and then Saturday night, yep. 12 midnight Eastern Time. Yeah, and then with
and
you
different,
once a month.
Different, yes, and then different guests each night?
Mm-hmm, yep, which, you know.
That's got to be booking double, my goodness.
Well, I'm so used to doing that. I've been doing it for years, so it was always a Friday and Saturday night show, so nothing's really changed on that level. Yeah, and it's fine. I don't mind, you know, getting people booked. I think sometimes they have cancellations, but not that often. People are pretty good these days. When the shutdown happened, it seemed like everybody was kind of in limbo. But nowadays they're getting better, more into their own routines, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, when we had the shutdown, it was so cool because there were no more conventions or anything, and the only way they had to publicize their book were podcasts. So
yeah.
It was
mm-hmm.
was a golden
That's
time
true.
For a while.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's funny is now everybody who's like mainstream news has their own podcast. It's like they all started to compete because they lost the ratings. Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that. And it was sort of like, you know, I don't know how long I've been podcasting, but, well, I've been doing the show for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I've been in it for a very long time, but not, I think I would say we kind of went commercial when I took it to YouTube, and I'm just wondering how long that's been. Have no idea.
Long time.
Yeah, it has been.
You know, I know I started my channel on YouTube when they first started, just about when the YouTube, when they first went up there, you know, different ownership.
I started June of 2008.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds about right.
So close to 20 years.
Amazing. That's a lot of data out there.
Wow.
Well, it's in there in the invisible realm and ghost files and all that.
I think we, between Mark and I, we've got 783 videos on YouTube.
Wow. That's cool. That's awesome.
Almost 2,800 subscribers.
That's pretty good.
And, you know, huh?
I said, that's pretty good.
Yeah. And that, now you've got me curious. Now I have to look. I try not to get into the numbers too much because they do become a tad overwhelming. Yeah. On Blog Talk, we've done 338,815 downloads.
Wow.
Which is
pretty good.
Which is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And 1,149 shows. So, yeah.
My goodness.
We've been around.
You've been around. That's excellent. Good for you. Excellent quality material.
Well, it hasn't always been quality, but we do our best for sure. But I think the coolest part about doing podcasting is we're not really professionals. So if we screw up or if something happens, everybody's very understanding of it. You know, there's nobody coming down on us with, you know, why did you have that space when nothing happened? Or, you know, why did you keep talking about, you know, my switchboard is going crazy? Or, you know, it's people are very understanding that this is not professional. It is, most of us are amateurs, but after this many years, I really should, I'm an experienced beginner. So
I consider you a beginner. I consider myself a professional. I consider you a professional. And you can't control the board.
Right.
It is what it is. But, you know, you're above your regular podcast. Let's put it that way. Podcast people that are out there.
Oh, yeah. But it is kind of fun to watch people who are now just getting, and you can listen to my podcast. And it's like, you're new.
Well, everybody and their mother has one now. So it's kind of like, and it gets to the point where there's so much data out there. Where do you go? Who do you look to and what do you listen to? You know, it's just oversaturated almost. So that's something I noticed because when we first started out, we didn't have a lot of people out there doing this stuff. Really didn't.
No.
So it changed rapidly and everyone, you know, started doing one. So just fine. I mean, I don't care. I'm not in competition with anybody. I don't care. I just put my data out there and disappear.
And every now and then somebody gets very, very critical. And, you know, and they leave a comment. And if depending on my mood, I'll respond and I'll say, yeah, I'm so sorry you had a bad experience. Please don't bother tuning in again. You know,
beautiful.
I wouldn't want to upset you again. You know, change your channel.
Well, there are trolls.
I won't know
them. I mean, they're just people. Right, exactly. They're everywhere. They show up and most of the time, they're not paying attention. Yeah.
Yeah, and there was a while way back where they were really attacking the hosts on almost all the shows. And, you know, the call-in shows especially, that's why I stopped taking calls. And you know, they would be rude and they would be, you know, they would use coarse language. And, you know, they were just horrible. And,
did you ask them what mental ward they were calling from? What psych ward are you calling from?
Yeah, I had. Well, I mean, Jeannie screened them usually, so I had their names, and of course, you know, these stupid people. I also had their telephone number, and
one night,
one guy, you know, called up and he ranted and he raved and he whatever, and the next morning I called the number and got his wife, and I said, you know, I really apologize. You know, before I even start talking, is so-and-so your wife? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, I just want you to know that he got on my radio show last night, and he was as vulgar, and the profanity was unbelievable. And I have the clip that I can send you that you know, he sent to us, you know, that it happened with the show, because it obviously didn't go out on the air. And she said, you have a recording of what he said, his name and his phone number? I said, yeah, and you know, I'm hopeful you can control him. Otherwise, I'm going to give it to the police.
Good for you.
And I actually got a letter of apology.
Oh, good.
So it,
oh, well, that's nice.
It may not have been her husband. It may have been her son.
Oh, wow. What a jerk. People waste their energy calling in like that. Ugh.
Well, I mean, if they're calling into a show, we have their phone number.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
If we get their name, we have their name. So any abuse they hand over, you know, we can turn into the authorities. And I have on occasion.
Yeah. Well, same thing goes with ISPs. Yeah. I mean, they could try and cloak them, but you still track them. They think they're invisible. They're not invisible.
Sure.
That's the thing. It's like, you know, guys should be really careful. And especially if you come from, like, if you're bothering beings like us who are high profile. I mean, it may not seem like it, but like where I've been in the day, I was always being interconnected and tracked. So when they track, if they bothered me, it's like they're getting a third party, you know, someone else is looking at them. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So really not a good idea for them. I think hopefully they grow out of that. But yeah, I think it's just, they think they can just act like little kids on the internet and be obnoxious and rude, and it's not acceptable, not in any formula. I would never do that to somebody.
It's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. If
yeah.
That's the best you've got, you know, I mean, really.
Find something else to do.
I mean.
Go listen to somebody else.
And
if you don't like the data, just move along, right?
I know when Jeannie was, you know, she would screen the calls, and she would, I know one night she got somebody on the line. They didn't realize they weren't on the air yet, and, you know, he let loose profanity all over the place, and then when he stopped for breath, Jeannie just said, is that the best you've got?
Oh, that's funny.
She was the best screener ever, and still is. You know, every now and then we will do a show. But, you know, she wasn't ruffled by anybody, and every now and then, you know, people got to know her. But every now and then there would be some jerk, and Jeannie would have a comeback that would shut them up like crazy. She is definitely a good friend.
Right.
But you know, when you get right down to what's happening today, there aren't as many call-in shows as once there were. Basically, people are using the podcast to put information out there. Some people are putting really good information out there, and some people are not. But, you know, with the times changing the way they are, anyone is capable of putting up a podcast. And it's interesting to listen to some of these new podcasts, because every now and then you get somebody that is actually putting out quality material, and it's nice to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
And, you know,
do it while
you don't
you
have to be. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm on Blog Talk. You're on Freedom Slips. I had Nightlight over on Freedom Slips for a while, but at the time I was there, they weren't able to take phone calls with any regularity. So I pulled out of there. But you know, you don't have to be a member of a large organization. You can get out there and podcast. You can put it live on Facebook. You can do all sorts of things now that 20, 30 years ago weren't even thought of.
Right. I mean, people's faces are plastered all over the internet now. You know, back in the day, you'd rarely meet somebody in a coffee shop, right? Now they're everywhere. TikTok. I don't know if that's good or bad,
true.
Quite honestly. I always said that, you know, and Tina Marie and I have talked about this before on KCOR, we're really glad they never had a snapshot of us when we were youth and teenagers and we had lives and we were, you know, we didn't do anything bad. But my point is, like, you know, we're not all over the internet at that age. These kids are. And that's really something to look at. You know, their whole life is being recorded on the digital screen of internet ghost records.
Well, and colleges are looking at the things. Yeah, colleges are looking at what they're putting up there, too. I mean,
that's employers do the same thing. Yeah. You know, your employer will do the same thing. That's why, you know, careful, I guess. I don't know. Or be self-employed.
Yeah, that helps,
you have
too.
To put up with it.
Well, I'm retired.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
well, that's the best
I'm not
way to
too
be.
Worried about it. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But we are almost to the end of our 2 hours, strangely.
Well,
it went fast.
That's wonderful. Well, it went fast. Yeah. It was a great show, as always. Barbara, it's a pleasure to connect with you again on Easter.
Well, let's get your stuff out there, your shows and your website and stuff like that there.
All right. Well, my shows are over there on revolution.radio, and that's Raven Star's Witching Hour on Saturday, 12 midnight Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Pacific. Then I have Hyperspace Night Files, which is on Friday, and the time is 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And, of course, Studio A on both of those. And then I have my website's nightshadowanomalydetectives.net or com, and you can find me over there.
Neon Twilight. I was kind of wondering, you do the two shows. Are they different in the kind of material they cover?
Sometimes with the Raven Stars Witching Hour, I kind of mix it up a little bit, and I do once in a while I'll do a round table, and I also do Cyber Witch Cafe with Niche, so that's a separate show within the show. And then on Fridays, it's more, I try to get more high-profile guests on that. I have a lot of guests at, like, earlier time slots, so I try to get them slated over there, a lot of authors. But yeah, it is what it is. It mixes. Very similar.
Well, it's good that you know, don't have a, you know, too structured a routine so that you can, you know, it's your show. You can do whatever you want with it.
Yeah, that's what I like about it. It's pretty easy. I mean, it's easy in the sense of it's casual. You know, it's not, there's no tension. It's just like having a cup of coffee. Well, like what you and I do. It's just very, very easy. You know, nice conversation about everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is my, of all the shows that I do, this is my favorite because, you know, I don't have to read a book. I don't have to, you know, have talking points. I you know, we could take it wherever we want to go.
And did we stay on track, Barbara? I don't know. Probably not.
No.
A little bit, right?
But it's nice to have a starting point.
It is.
I mean, I don't know if you read any of the descriptions I ever put up, but I do often say, I know where we're starting. I have no idea where we're going to end up.
I love it. It's kind of like a dream in space, isn't it?
It is. It's a roller coaster ride, and you just don't know when the dips are coming.
That's right.
Always know some good wisdom. So I want to thank you again. This is always,
as always,
a pleasure. And,
my pleasure, too.
It's your turn next. You get to pick
next. Oh, dear. Okay. All right. I'll come up with
something. All right.
All
right.
Thank you, Barbara.
I will talk to you soon. Thank you.
Okay.
Good
night, everybody.
Now.
Thank you. Night.
Good night. Good night, everybody. Thanks for joining. And I'll be back here tomorrow at 5 p.m. Central with another show. So do pop in if you have a chance. Good night now.